This episode of Inside Acting is brought to you in part by Rehearsal 2, the app for actors. Want to learn your lines fast, be off book for auditions, explore your characters and make stronger choices? There's an app for that, Rehearsal 2. Download it now at rehearsaltheapp.com/download. That's rehearsaltheapp.com/download. Hello and welcome to episode 141 of Inside Acting. My name is Trevor Elgott, and on this podcast we interview actors, writers, producers, directors, agents, managers, filmmakers, personal finance and fitness gurus, voiceover artists, acting teachers, anybody at all involved with the entertainment industry, and we package those interviews up between the kind of bookend segments where AJ and I talk about what we're up to in our lives and our careers. And we put it out there on the web each week for you guys. And AJ and I are two guys that started this thing because we just wanted to hear people's stories and find out what some of the common themes were between what works and what doesn't work. And we didn't want to have to pay for it. So that's really all this podcast is. And if you guys hear something on this show that you disagree with or is very contrary to your experience, we would love to hear from you. You can find out all the different ways to get in touch with the podcast by starting at our website, InsideActingPodcast.com. And on today's episode, we have part one of a three-part chat with acting teacher and coach David Kagan. I was really excited to sit down with David. His approach to acting really jives with what we've been chatting about on the podcast these past couple months and years. So it was a fascinating chat. Part one is coming at you soon, so make sure you guys stick around for that. So hey everybody, welcome to episode 141. This is Trev. I'm flying solo for this episode, so it's going to be short and sweet here at the beginning and end, but part one of our chat with David is really, really fantastic, so excited to bring you guys that. Before we roll into that, I do want to give a quick shout out to our new patrons, Jamie Hansen, Jennifer Green, and Tim Waterman all just jumped on as patrons and are supporting the podcast on a recurring monthly basis. And really, that is what makes the wheels on the bus go round. So thank you so much, guys. If you haven't checked your email and received an email from us asking for your photo and a blurb that we can put up on our website, please send us that so we can show people and the world how awesome you are. We also got a great one-off donation from existing patron Tom Burt. And he's been great about communicating with the podcast and keeping us posted on what he's up to. And Tom seems like an awesome guy. And he's also sending us one-off donations plus. So it's really pretty cool. So thank you so much, Tom, for that. We got a great listener question from Katie from Chicago. But I'm going to actually put it kind of in the parking lot until next episode when AJ can join me so we can respond to it together. But it's a really good question. So, Katie, thank you so much for writing in and sharing that. Rather than kind of recap what's going on in my world this week, I'm also going to stow that till next week. So without further ado, let's jump into part one of my chat with acting teacher David Kagan. Enjoy this, guys, and we'll catch you on the other side. Hey everyone, so it's Trev here. I'm sitting here with somebody that I'm really stoked to have a conversation with, David Kagan, who's an acting teacher and coach in North Hollywood. And David and I had a great conversation, it must have been 2 weeks ago or so now on the phone, and he's got some really awesome stories. He's got some really awesome stories to share, as well as I think a view on the industry that I think a lot of us get to hear. So, David, thank you for taking the time to be here.
No, it's great. I'm glad to be here.
Cool. Thanks for making the trek all the way out to the West Side. I know it's...
You're welcome.
Was it Sherman Oaks or Van Nuys where your studio is?
Yeah, Sherman Oaks is where my studio is, actually.
Okay,
yeah,
Sherman Oaks. Cool. Well, let's start at the beginning, really. It's kind of usually where I think we like is a good place to start, because you are not originally from L.A. I know we talked about you had a good chunk of time in New York. Right. So where did you grow up?
Well, I actually grew up on a farm. I don't know if you talked about that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I grew up in the
sticks. You couldn't get more removed
from the entertainment. Yeah, I grew up outside of a town of 1,000 people. But my dad loved the theater. My parents loved the arts. And so I grew up from a very young age being surrounded by the arts. And I remember, and I'll mention names that none of your audience is going to know, but we would sit at that time, we would watch live television and watch Shakespeare on television on a Sunday morning. And I was really young.
So we went from Shakespeare to cartoons. That's how
oh, God. Well, I mean, I was a TV baby. I watched all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I watched all that. But I would watch Shakespeare with my parents or whatever. And, you know, I might not understand. I didn't understand what was going on, but I knew somehow it was the Holy Grail from a very young age. And my dad loved acting and did a lot of community theater and some professional acting. And he did all the great plays that had something to say. All the Arthur Miller plays, for instance, as well as wonderful comedy. But that's, you know, The Crucible and View from the Bridge and all of these things. And my parents were voracious readers. And what's sort of relevant here, I think, also is that at the dinner table, they would always talk about what was going on in the world and ask us what we thought, and we would be brought into the conversation. And when they read a book, so it was always that kind of exploring of ideas and exploring what we really felt and what we really thought, developing into individuals, which is something I was thinking about as I was coming here. Because one of the things that is, I think, surprising to people when I work with them as actors, and I'm an actor too, so I've been on this journey, is that to be really good at this, you have to really individuate. You have to really be your own person. And not in some shallow way. Not the way we were our own person when we were in junior high school and high school. It's not about, you know, wearing a certain piece of clothing you know, being a rebel, but really discovering what you really believe and what you really feel. And it's about stepping out. It's funny that acting is this community effort, this group effort, and yet to do it really well is something very lonely about it.
Mm.
About being an artist, something very lonely about it.
Because I think by necessity, almost.
And you have your vision, and you think of somebody. All the great painters are great examples, you know, the Monets and the Picassos and whatever or Van Gogh, or, you know, that they, and many of them were not understood or even made a good living while they were alive. That's not what I feel actors have to do. So one of the first hurdles that I find in working with people is that, you know, the orientation is always, how am I supposed to do this scene? Mm-hmm. And what does the casting director want? And what do they want? It's the orientation out here in particular is, how do I get the job?
Right. How do I please this person?
How do I please this person
in such a way that they hire me?
And we were talking about this wonderful thing that's on my website. I just found it's on YouTube, and it's Bryan Cranston talking about auditioning.
I love that.
And it's
clip.
Beautiful. And it's just a couple of minutes long, but people should listen to that. You can go to my website, davidkagan.com, and it's embedded in a homepage or whatever, or Google it. And you know, he just talks about, and I was just watching a Hollywood Reporter in a roundtable, and I posted that on my Twitter page, film acting class. And he talked about it there too. And he's with John Hamm, and he's with Kelsey Grammer and Damian Lewis and I think it's John Strauss, I think it is, Parenthood, is that the right name?
I think so, yeah.
And they're all, you know, talking about their careers. And he said, you know, for so long he was trying to go in and do what they wanted. And he finally realized that he had to take back the power of doing his own thing. And that all the reasons why somebody gets cast and doesn't get cast, it's completely out of his hands. Once you get to a certain level, well, that's the tricky part about getting to that level.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this too. So people come here and they have a dream. Some have a fantasy. Some are not in touch with reality at all. And they will point out to you, if you talk to them, well, I don't need to study, or so-and-so never studied, or whatever.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, what you find out is that most people have done the work. It's like you can always find the exception. You know, you just point to somebody who somehow, you know, Alec Baldwin, who I taught for a while, you know, supposedly he got started on a bet. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even studying acting or whatever. He just, you know, on a bet. But after things started to happen for him, he came to somebody like me, and I wasn't the only one. And he worked with me, and I remember coaching him an audition. I think it was for Laguna Playhouse for Shakespeare.
Yeah, yeah. Were you saying that? Yeah.
And so that's the mentality of these people, who people admire. The guy who's the star of Mad Men,
John Hamm.
John yeah. Hamm talks about not getting a job for 10 years. Now, one of these guys, I was looking for to talk about it here, but I thought it was John Hamm, but I couldn't find it in the interview, talked about taking classes and choosing to live in his car so he could afford to take classes. Yeah. I don't know if it was John Hamm or somebody else. Okay, so you think I'm prejudiced because I'm an acting teacher? Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. You know, I had heavy-duty training. I went to Carnegie Mellon for 4 years. I've taught at a number of universities besides. I've been teaching for 40 years. This is my 40th year.
Really?
I've been acting since I was a child.
Wow.
The thing that's crazy is why would you take – why would you do the least amount of work? Why would you choose to make your role model somebody who just lucked into it?
Right.
Why would you do that?
How do you replicate that?
Yeah, how do you replicate? Go ahead and buy lottery
what
tickets.
What steps do you follow?
There's no steps. You know, the replicate sitting by the phone, replicate whatever. But truly, when you look underneath it, and this particular roundtable that I was listening to, I don't know if I mentioned Kiefer Sutherland was also part of that. And you know, he talked about that he realized suddenly that he was a boxer. That's what he said. That's what I understood. And he said, as a boxer, he would box every day. It was just a given, I mean, for him to be any good. And he said, as an actor, that's what he needs. Because if nothing else, it's about confidence.
Yeah.
If you have nothing else, the confidence, but the confidence has to come from that you, it's not just because I said so, or not just because what I talked to you about where I get so many phone calls and people say, oh, my friends think I'm funny, or, you know, somebody said I should do this or whatever. But they don't, not because they're dumb, but because how could they know what it's like to be on the inside? How could they really know what's required and the courage, you know?
And the
work ethic. And yet it's not drudgery. If you love it, whatever you love, it doesn't feel like work all the time. Sometimes it is work. Sometimes, you know. I actually was thinking about this man, John Bowles, who wrote the What Color Your Parachute books.
I love those books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, a real service. And one of the things he says to people, and this is for people who are looking to pursue any new career, and he has some advice, and he said, go contact the people who are really successful in the career that you want to be in and say to them, I would like 10 minutes of your time. And ask those people, I think, three questions. The first question is, what do you like most about what you do? What do you like least about what you do? And probably the third one is something about giving some advice. What mm-hmm. advice would you give?
Right, right.
Well, you know, I think it'd be great for people who have a dream, but don't know what this is, to talk to people who really are in the know.
That's the whole premise behind this podcast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
I get that.
I want to chat just a little bit about what, because you said you were an actor from a very young age, but you grew up on a farm, and you had this great kind of environment where, you know, progressive thought was kind of nurtured.
Yeah.
But what was the transition from the farm life to the life of an actor at such a young age? What happened there?
Well, first, we did move from the farm when I was like 13, just before I was 13. And we moved to a city, a university town in New Jersey. And there was a lot of community theater. And there was also a lot of theater in the high schools that I went to. But what was great is that because of the people that we had that were running those drama departments, I would do like 1984. One of my first big parts was Winston Smith in 1984. Does anybody know that book? I don't know, but there you go.
That's a killer book.
That's a killer book.
Yeah.
And so I got to do things like that, but also fun stuff. I mean, The Man Who Came to Dinner or whatever, or musicals and all that. So, you know, it was sort of a natural progression. The thing for me was that it was something that I felt I was good at. And that I got a lot of acknowledgement for, a lot of validation that I was good at. And I was getting parts, both in school and in theater, in community theater, and then eventually beyond that in summer stock, and then on and on. So I loved the experience of performing and trying to, and I studied it. When I was pretty young, certainly at least a teenager, I read Strasberg at the Actor's Studio. It's out of print, I think, but these are tapes of Lee Strasberg teaching. And years later, I actually got to be at the Actor's Studio and while he taught.
That's
not his
cool.
School, not the institute. That's a different ball game. But the studio where people like Marilyn Monroe and Marlon Brando and Rod Steiger and Paul Newman and on and on and on,
right,
like that. And so I got to watch these people. And some of those people I subsequently saw in movies, and some of those people I got to act with at the Actor's Studio.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I read that book, and those are tapes of him, recordings of him teaching people. And I was just absolutely enrapt, you know.
Yeah.
And so then the opportunity to do, to take acting and combine it with doing a play that made a contribution, that had something to say that I really valued, like life couldn't get any better than that.
Mm.
And then I think even then, certainly now, the challenge to be brave is something I love.
The challenge to be brave.
Yeah, to be brave. In other words, to what I teach people is that first of all, the first step is that your talent comes from your instincts. But the problem in life is that, well, first of all, when we're growing up, as teenagers and in high school, and even as grammar school kids, it's so much about conformity. You know, it's so much about, am I wearing the right clothes? Do I have the right haircut? Am I talking the talk? Am I walking? You know, am I cool?
Acceptance, validation.
That's forever. There's nothing. That's the way it is. That's the way it was for me. The way it was for you. I can't imagine there's anybody listening to this who doesn't understand what I'm talking about. Okay, so then when I work with actors, especially younger actors, that's the first thing. So for instance, with guys, the fear of anger.
The fear of anger?
Yeah, fear. Fear of their own anger. I'm not talking about cool anger. I'm not talking about I'm in control kind of anger. I'm talking about that moment when something happens in your life, when you snap, when you emotionally snap. And you've crossed over that. You've crossed the line from being in control to being out of control. Now, in acting, you need to be able to be out of control emotionally and in control physically. A lot of young male actors that's something they think, oh man, if I start breaking things and whatever, I'm really cool. You know, I'm really, this is really cool.
No.
Yeah, I'm intense. Yeah. I'm intense.
Check me out.
But that ain't it. That ain't it, obviously. Yeah. And you could see, I think anybody can understand how you, when you're on a set or on stage or whatever, you can't be hurting people.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think Anthony Hopkins, too, said something along the lines of anger is the easiest emotion to play, but it's also the least interesting. Something like that.
Right. And I'm talking about, because my feeling is that if you think about it, anger is a secondary emotion. You know, what's really going on when you're really angry, when you really get triggered? Where I live, one day, a number of years ago, I heard this kid, I know who it was, just screaming. I mean, it was a level of anger. It was a level of, it was unbelievable. And I walked out, I looked out of my house, and I saw this teenager standing on the curb, just yelling at his comrades, his friends, whatever. But he was beside himself. He was utterly vulnerable. He was deeply wounded, deeply offended, deeply hurt. And I think, you know, so fear and hurt is what, when we really feel scared or we really feel hurt, one of our reactions could be initially to be angry, but it's really a secondary emotion. It's not what's the primary thing. So I'm not talking about that cheap anger, you know.
Right.
You might see Arnold Schwarzenegger go, you know, hasta la vista, baby. Or, you know, I'm talking about the one where you're fully invested, where you're incredibly vulnerable.
Hmm. So is it a common thing that you see, especially with men, younger men who come in, that they default towards anger?
Yes.
And it's that,
yes,
it's that
or,
hollow or shallow.
Yeah. Or, well, it's sort of cheap, sarcastic, you know, with nothing at stake. Uh-huh. I can tell you to go fuck yourself. But I challenge you to go into your agent and tell your agent to go fuck himself. Oh,
yeah.
Huh. Why not? Well, I have something to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what life's about, isn't it? Real life is about that we always, you know, we have something to lose. And we make a choice. And it's in that choice that the audience gets really involved.
Yeah.
That's compelling. Because that's where they live. That's where we all live. That every day we have choices to make. Who am I going to be today and how am I going to be today? And how honest am I going to be about myself? Not about telling other people who they are. That's another, you know, that's baloney. You know, it's not about telling other people. It's about me being honest with me, with others about me, about, and then it goes back to that bravery. So now I get up, I talk to you that, I like Meisner's book, On Acting as a Textbook. I am not a Meisner teacher. That's a common misconception about me in Los Angeles, because for a long time I wanted to find something that I could give people at any level, a book that they could read, at least to have a common ground frame of reference.
Sure.
Not that you can learn acting from a book.
Sure. Yeah.
So he talks about self-betrayal. And that's the big kahuna. He says, your talent comes from your instincts. And there's a video on my website where I go through all this. Your talent comes from your instincts. Acting is living truthfully. That's a big word, truthfully, in the imaginary circumstances. Truthfully means, you know, it's about, it's not who you think you are. In life, we surprise ourselves a lot.
Yeah.
And the more important something is to us, the more we surprise ourselves. And it's that moment of nakedness. So one of the examples that I use is that I was talking to a guy who graduated from Carnegie before I did, and he became a newspaper writer, and he interviewed a number of people who had veterans from World War II. And what each of those veterans had in common is they'd all been in a foxhole with their best friend. Did I talk to you about this?
I don't recall. Yeah.
They'd all been in the foxhole with their best friend. They didn't know each other, and they'd all been in the heat of battle a lot. And at one point or another, each of them had the same experience, that their best friend got killed. The question I ask people then, I'll ask you, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
How do you think they reacted at the moment their best friend got killed? There's no wrong answer. There's no wrong answer. How do you think they reacted?
Oh, man. I can't... I don't think I could sum it up in one word. I think... I mean, if I had to, in the context of the conversation, it was probably anger.
Great. Makes total sense. I'm betting that there were a gajillion soldiers who reacted that way. How these guys reacted... Why the story is helpful, I hope, is that the instant their best friend got killed, they burst out laughing.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the look on your face. Okay, like, huh?
Like,
huh? So I can ask you, why do you think they burst out laughing?
Oh, man.
There's no, you know, it's okay. I'm just, like, I'm inviting sure. your audience to go through the process a little bit.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, gosh, just off the cuff, the absurdity of war.
Right, right. So many people, that's what people often say to me, and it's a perfectly intelligent answer. Here's the reason they burst out laughing. They burst out laughing because they were glad it wasn't them.
Oh, my God.
It oh, my God.
Bakes now, my noodle, yeah.
Yeah, it does what?
It bakes my noodle.
Yeah, yeah. So that's... You want your noodle baked when you go to the movies.
Yeah.
The more times your noodle is baked, the more time your mind is blown when you go to the movies or go to see a play, the more satisfying, exciting, enriching, stimulating, or funny. It includes comedy, too. It's not just drama. The more times that happens, the better the performance.
Yeah.
Now, that's what a Marlon Brando did. That's what a Sean Penn does. That's what a Johnny Depp does. That's what a James Franco does. That's what a John Hawks does. That's what a Javier Bardem does. That's what Jennifer Lawrence does. That's what Renee Zellweger does. That's what Meryl Streep does. That's what, you know, on and on and on. There was another, by the way, just a side conversation. There's another one of these roundtables that I have on my blog, which is also on my Twitter page, whatever, with all the women who were nominated for Oscars this past year. And Julia Roberts is talking about Meryl Streep, and she was about, you know, August Osage County. And she said, I wanted to see what the magic was. How does Meryl Streep do this? What's the magic? And she said, there's no fucking magic. She works her ass off. She works her... After all these years, this woman who's won all these Oscars, I haven't seen anything that she's failed at.
Yeah,
she's a singer. Yeah. She's been, you know, and performed in New York. She works her ass off. Okay, so they burst out laughing. Now, look, so the thing is that here, so here's the next step to that conversation, if just a little bit more, is that, okay, so now, Trevor, you get your big break, and you are cast in a movie that's directed by Steven Spielberg, and you're on the set. And I'm going to make it harder. It's your first day on the set. You have a scene where your best friend gets killed. You're in a foxhole. Your best friend gets killed. Spielberg's behind the camera. You're on your mark. Camera's rolling, recording your performance for millions and millions and millions of people to see. Behind Spielberg's got his earphones on. He's looking at that monitor, and he's watching you. And it's the first thing he's seeing you do. And it's your big break. Behind him is the crew, 150, 200 people. Caterers and hair people and makeup people and grips and all that stuff, right? He says, action. Your best friend gets killed. And suddenly out of nowhere, you have the instinct. Remember, your talent comes from your instincts. You have the instinct to burst out laughing. You don't even know why. At the moment you have an instinct, you don't know why. These guys told this story. These real soldiers told this story many years later. I think they finally couldn't hold on to the secret anymore. It was cathartic. It was healing for them. Okay, so you have the instinct to burst out laughing. And the issue is, do you do it or not?
Are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point in my journey, I would. I would totally
good.
Be on to that.
Good. So the deal is, I hope so, but most people wouldn't.
And
even you sitting there, you know, you kind of go, you know,
this is yeah, part of it.
And you're going, I hope so. You see, this is part of another piece of it that I want to say. Understanding is the booby prize.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people can read books. If you could learn acting from a book, or if I could do a lecture, and you know, instead of having a classes, it'd be a lot easier. I don't think it'd be much fun, but it'd be a lot easier. Somebody comes to me, they pay me $1,000, whatever it is. They pay me some money. I tell them what to do, and they go out and make $20 million a movie. It ain't that way.
Yeah.
Understanding doesn't mean you want, each of us understands a ton of stuff. We're able to give other people terrific advice about how to do their relationships, how to live their lives, what they're doing wrong, and yet somehow we can't lose those 5 pounds. We can't get to the gym the way we should. We keep making the wrong choice in relationship. All the things that we do. So it's that trip from the heart, from the head down to the heart, where it's really inside us. That's a big journey. That is life's journey for each of us. All right. So we hope so. But the deal is, I'm saying to you, it's a question mark for you. And it's a question mark for me. And it's a question mark for anybody. Now, I'm doing a long time. So not because I'm so smart or anything like that. It's like I don't have a choice anymore in a way. But forget about me. That's not the point. The point is that it's a challenge. And the challenge is we're concerned what he might think. Whereas we're concerned because this is our big break. And big breaks don't come along very often, and especially starring in a movie, you know, directed by Steven Spielberg. So we might very well hedge our bet a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want Spielberg to step out from behind the camera and yell at us or fire us. Right? He's a pretty big guy in Hollywood, and we'd like to work with him for the rest of his career. Yeah. That's number one. Number two, and here's the courage part. Number two is we might not want to do that reaction because we don't want to share that part of ourselves with the rest of the world.
That's deep.
We want to keep it a secret. That's right. Yeah. And this is what acting is. Deep. It's deep like that. To get that across to people takes quite a bit of time for them to actually act on that information. Oh, in their heads, they kind of go, oh, that's really cool. That's really interesting. Oh, I like that. But in terms of being able to put that into practice, that's a heck of a journey.
All right, guys, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed part one of my chat with David. Obviously, a lot of really cool stuff, and parts two and three just get better and better. Really thankful that David took the time to come sit down with us. And I'm not sure if I said it in the actual interview, and I don't quite remember, but David is one of the exceptions where I didn't actually go and audit his class, or I haven't actually worked with him, but we had a nice long chat on the phone. And after checking out his website and hearing what his thoughts were and things and some of the history and his stories in the industry, I thought it'd be a really great fit. So excited to have him on the show and bring you some of his experience and wisdom. So pick of the week. My pick of the week is... you guys are going to laugh, but I love this app. It's really been awesome for me. I'm not a big gamer. I don't play a lot of games. In fact, I have a policy of not having games on my phone because I know that I'll just get sucked in and become a hole of productivity. But this app is one of those ones that I kind of make an exception for because it's not really a game. It's more like a modern-day Tamagotchi, and it's called Plant Nanny. And those of you that know me may smile at this because it's essentially a really clever way to get people to monitor their water intake throughout the day. And it does it by having these little plants that you have to water. So every time you drink a glass of water, you get to check in with the app and water your plant. And your plant grows and levels up, and then you can build a garden, and you can accrue seeds to buy new flower pots and backgrounds and things like that. And I've just been loving it. And since it's got a kind of health focus, I thought I'd just mention it on the podcast. So it's called Plant Nanny. You can get it for iOS. I'm not sure if it's available for Android, but I'll have a link to the iOS version on our website. No listener pick of the week, and I did not get a pick of the week from AJ, but hopefully he'll be joining us next week and will let us know what kind of cool new stuff is in his world. Patron of the week goes to a longtime listener and supporter named Stephen Phillips. And I wanted to give a shout out to Stephen because not only have we bonded over football in the past on Facebook, but also because he does not yet have a photo or a blurb on our website. So, Stephen, if you're listening to this, please send us a photo and blurb so we can tell the world how awesome you are and so people can see who you are. But suffice to say, Stephen's been with us almost since the very beginning, and we are so grateful for your support, Stephen. So thanks so much for that. And that about does it for this episode, guys. I know it's short and sweet, but if you'd like to get in touch with the podcast, you know where to start. Go to InsideActingPodcast.com. You can shoot us an email at InsideActingPodcast@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 213-2-ACTORS. That's 213-222-8677. We are all over the interwebs. We are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on iTunes. We're on Actor Rated. So please, if you've got something nice to say, preferably, give us a shout, and we'll be happy to hear from you and respond to you. It's really all about the conversation. That's really what this is. It's never been, I think, either my desire or nor AJ's desire to just talk at people. We definitely want to just keep a conversation going and really build a community that's built on integrity and hard work and not waiting around for the phone to ring, that kind of thing. If you value this podcast, it would be great if you could support us financially as well. We have two options for financial support right now. One of the ways is just a one-time donation. You can head over to our website, and on the right-hand side, there's a donate button where you can donate just really anything from like a few pennies all the way up to whatever they cap it at. I'm sure it's probably, I don't know what it is, but you could donate a lot. You could probably donate five or six figures if you wanted to. But don't feel like embarrassed if you can only donate a little bit, because every penny counts, and every penny right now goes directly back into building a better podcast. In fact, that's exactly what we're doing. For those of you who read the dispatch email that I sent out last week, you'll know that that's what's going on. And the other way to support the podcast is to support us on an ongoing monthly basis, and we call those supporters patrons. $3, $5, $10, or $20, and then we give you a shout-out on our Patreon page with a photo and a blurb and any relevant links that you have to social media or your website or anything like that. So that option is available for people as well. And if you haven't downloaded our iOS app yet, our iPhone app, please do. I'll have a link in the show notes for this episode where you can just go straight to iTunes and download it. It's free, and it gives you streaming access to the past 100 episodes of the podcast, as well as a few other kind of fun features that we worked pretty extensively with a great web developer, or I'm sorry, iOS developer with. His name's Esteban, and he's been really awesome about just putting in some pro bono work to spread the love. So thank you, Esteban. Thank you, guys, for downloading the app, and thank you for listening and supporting the show. Thank you to Jen, our production coordinator, and Caesar, our technical producer. My name is Trevor Elgott, and we'll see you guys next week.
This episode of Inside Acting has been brought to you in part by VO2GoGo.com, the award-winning voiceover training system and winner of Backstage's Reader's Choice Award for Best VO Training 4 years in a row. Visit VO2GoGo.com/start for a free Getting Started in Voiceover online class that will help you add voiceover to your acting portfolio. That's VO2GoGo.com/start.